not an overstatement to say that the London International Festival of Theatre has completely transformed the landscape of the London stage over the last 2.5 decades. LIFT brought together Deborah Warner and the Midland Grand Hotel for the now infamous St Pancras project. LIFT also brought Robert Lepage to London for the first time, and more recently introduced the explosive combination of theatre and circus to the Roundhouse in the form of the Argentinian group De La Garda. All this and infamous other theatrical innovations are due to the unflagging energy, open-mindedness and determination of LIFT's founders, Rose Fenton and Lucy Neal. I'm Rachel Halliburton and I'm here to talk to Rose and Lucy about the 2004 LIFT season. This summer, London audiences will be able to enjoy an extraordinary programme of work, launched by the latest project of the visually and conceptually daring Italian director Romeo Castellucci. However, Rose and Lucy have also just announced that this season will be their last. Their announcement marks the end of a truly exciting era, although they both seem more than confident that LIFT will continue without them.
Rose Fenton and Lucy Neal, thank you very much for agreeing to talk to Theatre Voice. We're sitting here two or three months before you launch your 2004 LIFT season. And as a central concept of the season is that you've launched an inquiry into the nature of theatre. Lucy, could you explain to me what the nature of the inquiry is and what gave you the idea to start it?
The inquiry is a 5-year project that LIFT has initiated in a response, really, to a 20-year history of having a biennial festival every 2 years when we put together a wonderful 2 or 3 week season of shows, and the audience had a very intense time, you know, to cover the ground, if you like. But we wanted to initiate a period of research and experimentation at LIFT, and the inquiry therefore is something of a festival laboratory which can explore the ways in which artists that we work with can do more than they would do in normally presenting a show at a festival. They could engage at a much deeper and more profound level with some of the ideas that are at the heart of the work. But principally, it's an opportunity to widen circles of engagement and conversation between artists and audiences. And that LIFT has a history of a very wide participation, given the site-specific nature of some of our work and the learning programs that have engaged individuals from the business communities, education communities. The LIFT landscape is populated by a very rich diversity of individuals. And during this 5 years, we wanted to really question, what is theatre? And what can theatre be?
I understand you've got quite a variety of people who are conducting this inquiry for you. Rose, could you describe to me the inquirers and how you came to select them?
The inquirers, during the 50 days of our next season, which kicks off on the 3rd of May, there's a whole host of events happening. International artists will be part of the inquiries, but there will also be Londoners. And we have written to some 200 Londoners asking them to be part of the inquiry, asking them, what does theatre mean to them? And if theatre was not there, what would be missing from their lives? And these are people from a whole range of ages and backgrounds, aged 6 to 96, whole range of professions, lawyers, artists, teachers, children, and also a whole range of cultural backgrounds. Because one thing about LIFT is that we explore the international that is in London and the connections between London and the rest of the world. So there are a huge number of actually artists living from other cultures, other countries, whose ideas about theatre and its place in their lives are very interesting and very potent and absolutely help us answer this question of what theatre can be. So there will be installations, there will be talks every day during the 50 days down at the Barge House on the South Bank at the heart of the theatre establishment, questioning what theatre can be at 1 o'clock and at 6:30, where these people will come and give their testimonies throughout the time.
Lucy, one of the artists, and indeed the artist who's going to launch the season, is Romeo Castellucci. Could you explain to listeners of Theatre Voice what his project is and how he's been conducting it around the world?
I think Romeo is typical of many of the artists that we're working with at the moment, who choose at this moment in the world now that they do not want to disassociate their own work from what they feel is a very urgent sense of disturbance about people at a private level, of how they connect publicly with public events. And they want to explore the theatre as a place for that connection between the private and the public. Romeo's inquiry project fits in with his own exploration over a 3-year period, which is a sequence of 10 episodes happening in 10 different cities across Europe, to question what is tragedy. You know, what is this facet of the human condition that can be explored in the theatre? What is tragedy? So he's in residence in cities such as Berlin, Paris, Rome. And when he comes to London for the Lift Inquiry, he'll be in residence in Deptford at the Laban, and will present 4 London episodes in answer to this question about what is tragedy, but from a London perspective, in terms of London's history, the seeds of empire, its contemporary face as a city, and that will therefore go into the 3-year arc of this long-term exploration, which the public then will have an opportunity at the Barge House, as part of the Lift Inquiry, to respond, in a sense, with their own ideas to the work that he's created. And it's that essence of engagement between the artist creatively and the public creatively that we hope conjures a real energy and dynamic of the Lift Inquiry.
As ever, Lift is pushing at the boundaries of where theatre can originate from space-wise, and I understand that an allotment in Brixton is involved this time. Rose, could you explain how?
That's right, and it's not only where it can take place, but who can be involved in making it. And this, in fact, involves an allotment association down in Brixton and a primary school, Rosendale School, in which the children, and this has already begun, it's a process, have designed, are planting, will nurture, then harvest, and then finally cook their own school dinner, with the help of gardeners, with the help of chefs, and also with artists being in residence throughout the year. The planting is beginning quite soon, the ground has been prepared, and every season will be marked by a moment, a public moment. We've got the spring equinox coming up on the 21st of March, and there will be an event on the allotment, and during the season on the 21st of June, an event still to be designed, and finally in September, a huge feast to which the public will be invited. And so it's this notion of kind of performance, culture, agriculture, marking of the seasons, and new rituals for our times around food, and developing, some of it will be musical, some of it will be performative, just developing moments to create new possibilities, really.
But it's also great, and it's a sense, it's a return to the origins of what brought people together, and a return, in a sense, to the origins of theatre. Whereas at the other end of the scale, you've got Christophe Bertineau, who's going to be using very high-tech methods of exploring, you know, what theatre is. Lucy, could you tell our listeners about him?
The show that Christophe will create in Victoria Park, we don't know, will be between 10, 15, even 20,000 people. But what's very precise about Christophe's theatre work with exploring fire and sources of light is that he can create an intimacy for people. So they are able to experience it at a very personal level and yet in enormous numbers publicly. And his exploration of light for this show wants to explore the images that are used, the way light projects through television and video screens. And he shares a certain disturbance that possibly everybody experiences at this moment in time, which is that the stories we're told are not always the stories that we feel, you know, are the real stories. And he will use the show this summer to explore the way light is used, both as sunlight, but as fire and flame, but as video projection as well, to explore this disconnection between something that is real and then something that is reported or relayed through a television image. And I think that the whole inquiry is looking at how the theatre can be a space for a multiplicity of voices at a time when we are increasingly given just the one language or the one voice that, in a sense, politically is violently kind of pushed at us as the way the story goes. And we all know that it's not true, that there are many different voices and perspectives. And I think we're very serious in that sense of wanting to establish that the theatre is a place for that discourse and exchange of personal perspectives in a shared public space.
Which is really where the Beiruti artists come in, because we have a whole season of artists working across disciplines, theatre, film and visual arts. And, you know, they are excavating their own history, the painful history of Lebanon and Beirut, so many years, almost 30 years of civil war, and the realities that they were fed, the realities that the world were fed, the kind of the lies, the gaps between the truth and the realities, but actually what indeed at the end were the truths. And they have created an extraordinary body, an extraordinary aesthetic of work, which plays between these kind of shifting senses of kind of celebration at simply being alive and anger at being manipulated through the way you have to lead your life, and a very kind of witty exploration of the performative moment, whether it's through film or indeed entering into an installation where you might be confronted with a scrap of paper found buried in a house that did belong to a phalangist militia and then was taken over by the Palestinian movement, which tells a story. And so what they do is that they reveal that story through their performances, through their installations, using a whole range of technologies as well as conventional theatre performances. So it's that kind of shifting into what do we use to create our stories, to make our theatre today. Let us use the technology that is there. Let us employ every means. And let us somehow share our stories so that other people can relate to them and respond to them. And again, coming back to this inquiry, what we want through this season is the public's response to them, opportunities for debates, for encounters, which will be very much lodged down at the Barge House, along with some of the performances. Where there will be a bookshop, there will be a cafe, there will be parties, of course, as well as symposia and performances.
You have both provided the extraordinary driving force behind LIFT over the last 25 years, but this will be your last season. Can you tell me why you decided that this would be your last season and how you see the future of LIFT without you?
Rose and I have worked on LIFT now for nearly 25 years, so it's been an astonishing odyssey, really, of pushing at the boundaries of theatre. And I think that what we've done recently has been to push at the boundaries of what a festival can be. And I think that this 50 days, in fact, there's another season of work around forced entertainment's work in the autumn coming up. But we feel that both these seasons really do question what is appropriate for a festival to be creating in these days and times, and that it's a very high, the energies are very high at LIFT in terms of all the projects that LIFT is exploring. And it feels a very strong moment to be leaving with an openness about these questions and yet quite a strong sense of LIFT's onward direction and onward momentum in which we have complete faith and excitement about. But 25 years is a very good time to spend working on something, and we want LIFT to be strong, and we want our own, you know, lives to have other work. So it seemed the right moment.
And Rose, it felt like the right moment for you as well.
Absolutely. I mean, I think the whole spirit of the work that Lucy and I have done, and with many others, but it's that kind of sense of adventure and turning corners, and one kind of says, well, are we going to be 65 and still doing LIFT? Are there other adventures that we can have in other ways? But also it seems absolutely right for LIFT that it's at a stage where it's questioning a lot, it's very open, and it is the moment to pass on to a new leadership. And in a way it's rather like watching your children grow up and thinking, well, let's see what's going to happen next, and kind of trusting that the kind of ideas, the philosophies, the values that LIFT has nurtured over the years can be handed on and kind of taken forward in even more exciting ways.
Rose and Lucy, thank you very much.